Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you apple, plum, and apricot, I do, eh?
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. Today's guest is Anne Holcomb, and Anne is the Executive Director for Food for People. Anne, could you tell me a little bit about where the food comes from that you distribute through Food for People?
Yes, we actually receive food through quite a variety of sources, and one of our primary sources over the years has been USDA, which provides commodity foods for food banks and for the school meal programs. And that's combined with food that we are able to purchase thanks to some Emergency Food and Shelter Board funding and foods that are locally donated through food drives or from local businesses, and also foods that are gleaned. That's more of the fresh produce that comes from local farmers and backyard gardeners and so forth.
How do you raise money for your operating expenses? Where does the money for the food bank come from?
A lot of it comes from our really wonderfully generous community. About 32% of our annual budget is from state and federal contracts, and those never fully cover the program costs that they're meant to, as anybody who's worked with state or federal contracts can tell you. And the rest really comes through additional grant writing and fundraising that we do, soliciting donations from our community.
What are the current trends that you're seeing right now with food? I know right now the economy is going through some bumpy spots, so I'm
very
sure
much so.
There are more people that maybe need your services. What are the trends affecting your provision of food for people?
Well, we've seen about a 25% increase in requests for assistance as more and more businesses are laying off employees or even closing their doors. Some are cutting back hours and wages just to stay afloat. So we're seeing an awful lot of people who have never had to ask for help before, and you can tell that it's a pretty daunting step for them to come through our front door for the first time. And that has obviously put a strain on our resources. USDA commodity foods declined by about 60% over the last 5 years. And with the recent passage of the Farm Bill, there's been a little bump up again because some additional funding was included. But the cost of food, increases in the cost of food, certainly impact the cost of the commodities and what the government is able to provide. So that's been a major concern because those items were the backbone of our food boxes. And we generally used to have 8 to 10 USDA commodity items per month, and that went down to 3, maybe 4.
What sorts of items are USDA commodity items?
Well, we get to choose from a list of items within a certain entitlement amount, and I try to get the most bang for the buck from that list, and I try to get some good protein items. It can be some frozen ground beef or canned chicken or tuna, peanut butter, dried beans or canned beans, things like that. We also are purchasing through that canned fruits and vegetables, rice, macaroni, cereal occasionally. It's not a very big list to choose from. And I would say that quality has been a concern. I was really pleased that the new USDA secretary has made a commitment to really lower the sodium content and the sugar content in a lot of the foods that the government purchases, which will be wonderful because many of the folks that we serve also have diet-related illnesses such as diabetes or heart disease. So getting good quality food is really so important.
So I know you were saying some of the foods that you've gotten before have been foods that were bulk foods that were inexpensively priced that you could pick up. But I think that some of those are, you know, everybody's trying to, seems like, make a buck. So some of those things aren't even available to you right now.
There was a big shift a few years ago. We work through an organization called Feeding America, which used to be known as America's Second Harvest. And they oversee a nationwide network of food banks, over 200, and then smaller subsidiary groups such as we are in that network. And they work directly with the major food manufacturers like Kraft, Pillsbury, General Mills, and those folks. And it used to be that all of the foods that were very close to their expiration date or their pull date would be donated to food banks, and they got a tax credit for that. And then several years ago, they discovered that they could actually make money selling those items at a discounted price in dollar stores and grocery outlets and so forth. So many of those foods that we really relied on for food boxes are no longer coming to us, and we're just seeing mostly snack items and those sorts of things.
So I know in your quest to have more nutritious foods, one of the programs that sounds really exciting is the encouraging community gardeners to grow an extra row for the food bank.
Yes, it's a nationwide program actually called Plant a Row for the Hungry. And it just encourages folks, whenever they're setting out their gardens, to plant a little bit extra with the thought of donating it to a local food bank or food pantry. And we have a gleaning program at Food for People, and we'll send volunteers out to help harvest if that's an issue. And that's been really helpful for many seniors who may have lots of fruit trees in the backyard but not able to pick on their own. So we can send volunteers out, and the seniors are always very happy that the trees are cleaned up, the food isn't going to waste, and it's going to be put to good use.
And that's always a hard thing when I'm walking around the community and I see these overloaded plum trees just hanging to the ground. And I want to go up personally and pick, but I do know now that Food Bank has a program that will do that. And so maybe I can encourage people to take advantage of that.
Oh, all they have to do is give us a call, and it's very easy. We also work with a number of local farmers. We have just such a wonderful group of farmers working through the North Coast Growers Association that are at our farmers markets and so forth. And many of them will donate what is left at the end of a market. And they also have extra that can be picked out in the farm field. So again, we can send volunteers out there to harvest those foods.
So if a person did plant, you know, a little extra in their garden, how do they make arrangements to get that food to the food bank?
Well, they can either drop it off Monday through Friday between 9 and 4 themselves, and we can give them a receipt for them if they'd like that as well to acknowledge their donation. Or, as I said, we can send some volunteers out to pick that up.
If people are interested in helping, what do you think is the most useful thing that people can do for the food bank? What do you need the most?
You know, it's a real mix, and I realize that with so many people struggling right now, folks who have been donors in the past may not be able to right now. If they're able to donate some food, either non-perishable items, or they can come in and volunteer. Volunteers do so much for us. Last year, they contributed over 15,000 hours of their time doing such a wide variety of tasks, and that would have translated into more than 8 full-time staff positions.
What sorts of things do the volunteers end up doing?
As I said, it's quite a wide variety. It can be anything from stuffing envelopes to sorting produce that comes in, assembling food boxes, washing floors, painting, any of those sorts of tasks. We are always looking for people with a variety of skills. They could help us with our website. The possibilities are endless. Not always glamorous, but there are lots of possibilities.
So I know there are lots of different ways that people can give. Here at Humboldt State, we have it all nicely set up for us that if we're an employee, there's the United Way drive, and we can check food for people on our United Way form and have just a little bit of money taken out of our paycheck every month, and we don't even miss it. What other ways can people set things up so that it's relatively painless?
Well, we have quite a growing number of people actually who donate through their credit card, and it's just an automatic deduction every single month. It's set up through a very secure website, or they can call us directly to do that. There are other folks that participate in what we call our 800 Club, and we're really trying to come up with a new name. But many years ago, the theory was that if 800 people gave $5 a month, it would help cover our operating expenses. We've obviously grown since then, but there are many people. We send a package of envelopes, and they can just send us a check once a month or quarterly or however they'd like to do that.
So if people are interested in donating or, you know, getting more information about the food bank, what's your phone number and your website?
We can be reached at 707-445-3166 or visit our website at foodforpeople.org.
This is Jennifer Bell, and I've been talking to Ann Holcomb.
Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you apple, plum, and every kind of thing.
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call our listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden, and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU and KHSR for another edition of Food for Thought during the KHSU homepage.